If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs. Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
1, 2, 3, I was feeling so bad. I asked my family doctor just what I had. I said, Doctor,
Doctor,
Mr. MD,
Doctor,
now can you tell me?
And welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Here on Herb Talk, we're here to empower you. That's what we're going to do. Magical Engineer Frank and I have a great show here on Herb Talk on American Voice Radio Network. Get ready to be informed. And we're going to be talking about things that will improve your lifestyle, improve your wellness and well-being. So we're going to empower you that way, and that's what we like to do. We live for this. And we're going to be talking about, for the first part of the show, how light influences our mood. And we'll also have some other things and a quack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. I don't know about you, but I'm hitting the knees and I'm seeking the Lord's face. And I hope you are too. And mind the time, because it grows short. And we're going to have a devotional. And today's devotional puts us in, let's see, we are in Romans 8. chapter 8, and it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose." And then in 1 John 4, "And we love him because he first loved us." Amen to that. So seek the Lord's face. Have a relationship. Mind the time, it grows short, because that is the way. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. All right, so here on the quack report, we got a couple things here, Frank. Zoloft falls into shortages. Widely prescribed antidepressant, Zoloft is in the United States, and of course, there's a short supply of it now. The FDA added Zoloft tablets to its list of drugs in the shortage on the shortage list last Friday. Also, if you're taking the generic form called sertraline, that's also going to be in short supply. Also, these drugs are used to treat not only depression but obsessive compulsive disorders and post-traumatic stress disorder. So, according to research, the COVID-19 lockdown, the quarantine, I call it the quarantine, shelter in place is just a nice way of saying it, but the isolation has added to a lot of people's anxiety, and it's triggered depression, and it's heightened the demand for these type of mental health drugs, and the prescription rate climbed to 12% during the last 8 weeks. So generic drug firms that are producing this sertraline generic form, they weren't able to get enough pharmaceutical ingredients to make the drug, is the reason why it's in short supply. Okay, moving along with the quacker. Israelis think they have figured out a way to have their spectator sports and everybody be safe. This is a startup company over there called RD Pack, and they are using some technology that was developed through the Bar Land University, and that's in Tel Aviv, Israel. What they do is they're going to spray all the entrances of the sports facilities and all the attendees that want to go to the venue. This is a new way, they say, to disinfect people to reduce the danger of the pandemic. And it's called a sanitation and disinfection tunnel. And as the visitors walk through it to the venue, it sprays them with this liquid. So the tunnel is made out of aluminum and polycarbonate frame, and it's being piloted at Bloomfield Stadium in Tel Aviv for the soccer games. Right now they've been playing with no spectators in the stands. So when people walk through the tunnel, their whole body gets sprayed with a disinfectant they say works fast and efficiently. And the university researchers said that they developed a way to make strong, environmentally friendly disinfectants that kill both bacteria and viruses by using tap water. So what they did is they electrified the tap water, and it produced a hypochlorous acid. They say in defined levels of acidity, they can spray it on you to kill the pathogens. I don't know about you, Frank, but I don't think I want anything with acid coming on me. I'm sorry. I know your skin has a pH balance, and some of that acid keeps you safe from viruses and bacteria that you come in contact. But, you know, when science tries to duplicate what God's got going, I just cringe. I really do. All right, last but not least in the quack report, I love dogs, Frank. I know you got cats. Do you have a dog? Do you have a dog? I don't think you do. I think you have a bunch of cats. But there's this study that researchers did at Arizona State University about man's best friend. Oh, Frank's got two dogs. What kind are they, Frank? What kind of dogs are they? Just mutts? I grew up with dogs. I'm not a big cat person because I'm allergic to cats. He's got a lab and a pit bull. Awesome. All right, so here's this research out of Arizona State University. And they wanted to answer the question, do dogs really have a will to rescue their owners when they're in trouble? I think this was great. So will your dog save you if he knows that you're at risk of something? Well, The study authors gathered 60 pet dogs together and observed what happened when each dog's owner was seemingly placed in a tough spot. Now, none of the dogs in the study had any prior experience or training in saving people. So during the main phase of this experiment, each dog's owner got locked into this big box with a very lightweight door that the dog could move fairly easily. So while they were inside, the participant, the owners, called out, help, help, help me. But the owners were instructed and coached beforehand to ensure that their cries sounded authentic, like there was a level or a pitch of alarm. But they were also instructed not to call their dog's name to highly incite the dog. So they didn't want an obedience exercise going on. They wanted a rescue thing going on. So about a third of the dogs in the study rescued their distressed owners. So they say a dog's heroic actions were kind of striking for two main reasons. First, the dogs clearly showed a desire to help their owners. And second, the dogs were also intelligent enough to figure out what actions had to occur to open that door to the box. Moreover, the dogs, they said, showed clear signs of distress themselves when they thought their owner was in trouble. So when their owner was distressed, they barked more and they whined more. So the conclusion from this test of man's best friend is most dogs want to rescue you, but they need to know how. This study makes a strong case that dogs really do feel empathy and compassion for their owners. Love it. Well, and that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
So we are we're going to be talking about light influence. And this has to do with your eyeballs. So this is kind of new research. And I think it's kind of interesting. The human eye is surprising our scientists, okay? And recently, the research at Northwestern University in Evanston, Illinois, they discovered that our human eye sends different types of signals. Now, science originally thought our eyes only sent signals one way, but now it seems they're wrong. So we're going to take a look at what the scientists uncovered about our amazing eyes, the window to the soul. So they got these signaling pathways, our eyeballs do, because for a long time, the medical physicians thought that our eyes only communicated one way with the brain and, you know, sent what they called excitatory signals. Now they've discovered the eyes also send what are called inhibitory signals. And you might want to know, well, what's the difference? Well, the excitatory signals is a signal pathway, they say, that makes your neurons fire frequently. So if you're looking at something and those signals are going through to your brain, okay, so I'm looking at my computer screen and there's a pretty picture of the Grand Canyon, okay? Excitatory signals sending a pathway to your brain through your retina and telling you this is what you're looking at. Now, the inhibitory signals, the new ones they've discovered, these are retinal neuron. It's a neuron pathway also, and it's a pathway to the brain, and it makes the neurons fire less frequently. So it's like a tamp down effect. One excites and one kind of, you know, calms it down. So think of it while you sleep, because when researchers, they were examining this, the team thinks that your inhibitory pathway, the one that tamps things down, it operates while you're sleeping and operates on an involuntary subconscious type of basis. So they also think that your sleep cycle, the circadian rhythm, may also instigate this action. So when you want to go to sleep, your brain wants to shut down, the inhibitory pathway kind of kicks on. They also noted that bright lights that constrict your pupil can also activate this signal pathway. So your eyes are part of the brain. So we're not used to describing our eyes as being neuron tissue, such as what the brain is made of, but our eyes are neurological tissue. So this research is really highlighting how light to dark and bright light affects the eye neurons and how that may be linked to our behavior and even our memories. Here is a quote from Tiffany Schmidt. She's with Northwestern University. She's involved in the study. She says, these inhibitory signals prevent our circadian clock from resetting to dim light and prevents pupil constriction in low light, both of which are adaptive for proper vision and daily function. We know more that the eye is also exquisitely sensitive to light, but our subconscious behaviors are comparatively insensitive to light, end of quote. Well, think of the inhibitory pathway they're discovering here as kicking on when you enter a movie theater and you want to watch a movie in the dark, okay? You're not going to go to sleep because it's dark, so it kind of, that inhibitory cycle kicks on and tamps down the circadian rhythm so you don't go to sleep and you get to watch the movie. Now, your brain knows the difference, and it's not time for you to go to sleep. This research is also published in the April 2020 Journal of Science. Now, Professor Schmidt's team, they find that a signal generated in the eye inhibits the circadian rhythm, and it's a realignment when your environmental light changes, especially if it's unexpected. So, for instance, think of a thunderstorm that kind of suddenly comes up, darkens the sky, or how about a solar eclipse, and the light changes, but we don't suddenly put our chins to our chest and start snoring, okay? So they also discovered that when the inhibitory pathway is blocked, our eyes, the pupils in our eyes, are more sensitive to light, and it keeps them from constricting in low light, so because your pupil has to dilate, so it gets more light in there so you can see. So in dark places, the pupil enlarges, letting in more light to the retina so you can see what's around you. So the blocking of the inhibitory signal prevents the pupil from closing too much until the light intensifies. So that's important. And so they found there's a balance. There's more than one thing going on in the eye, regulating light and your mood and your sleep cycle, which I think is so fascinating. They also found cell communication. The eye retinal cells have a job of communicating light from the retina to the brain, and science is kind of still trying to identify which cells control also the inhibitory and excitatory functions of the eye, the signal pathways. So science is, they believe there is a delivery of neurotransmitter amniobutyric acids called GABA, G-A-B-A, and they think these acids are delivered to specific cells, but they have not identified them yet. So using, let's say, mice, they experimented by removing the GABA acids, the neurotransmitter, and it increased light sensitivity to the lab animals, affecting their pupil reflex, and their circadian sleep cycle. More research on this was published in the Journal of Science, and it showed that light affects our mood. Now, think of a romantic candlelit dinner. Kind of sets the mood. Light influences our mood. And or how about if you went to, let's say, an evening parade at Disney World, where the street lights are highlighted along with all the fireworks. So, I mean, it's dark out, but you're not wanting to go to bed. You're wanting to see this parade and all the light, and all this affects your mood and kind of makes you more excited and lifts up your mood. So these light-evoked instances release the excitatory pathway, and our conscious visual perception and the inhibitory pathway controls more of the subconscious part. So that's the involuntary part, the image-forming behaviors part, that kind of stuff. So your eyes have a couple of mechanisms going on, kind of balance things out, and science is trying to undercover a dynamic range of function within the neurons of your human eye. So there's kind of a more subtle circuitry going on in the retina, they think, which is providing a mechanism that contributes to how we behave when we're in a low-light environment. So we're kind of complicated and sophisticated. Science is still kind of has probably no clue what all is going on in your eye. They just have the tip of the iceberg. Well, we want to protect our eyes from disease, and modern medicine has actually listed over 40 diseases that involve our eyes. Genetics is not responsible for all of them. And in many instances, it's lifestyle that is causing a weakness in the vascular area of the eyes. Now, according to the American Academy of Ophthalmology, we currently have over 150 million Americans that wear corrective eyewear. And the World Health Organization also admits that most vision problems are due to either poor diet, lack of exercise, genetics, too much close work, or computer blue screen eye strain. Well, and you want to beware if you go to a retina specialist and they say, hey, you know, you've got maybe a cataract going on, or you've got, you know, nearsightedness, and, you know, just give me a call when you see wavy lines. But they really don't tell you what the heck does that mean when you see wavy lines. Well, most retinal specialists will tell patients, you know, give me a call if you start to see this, you know, distortion. So when you look at a fence or the siding on a house, either vertical fence or horizontal siding on a house, and you see wavy lines, it's an indicator you got some eye problems going on. Now, you're probably saying, well, what's the difference between the horizontal and the vertical wavy lines? Well, it can involve your retina and a retinal detachment, or it could involve cataracts and how the cataracts are progressing on the lens of the eye and distorting the light that is getting through there. So in many cases, people, let's say with nearsightedness, can see visual distortions and may first notice it while they're at home and they see wavy lines. They can also develop maybe a blind spot in any part of their visual field, and it may not be macular degeneration. This is often called metamorphosia. It's the shape of the eye. It gets elongated, creates the nearsightedness, and it's severe enough that it can alter vision and cause vision loss. So it's really called a pathological myopia, and occurs in about 2% of the population that tend to be nearsighted, and it's the seventh cause of blindness. So you want to do your homework now on any treatments that are recommended to you regarding your vision. Please, please investigate. Eye injections, for instance, if that's ever suggested to you, please investigate and look closely at that treatment, because the needles being stuck into your brain matter, because that's what your eyes are, a part of your brain. Most of these injections contain toxic chemicals, also known as chemotherapy drugs. So, and your eyes are really sensitive, all right? And if diet, according to the WHO, can affect your eye health, what do you suppose a toxic chemical can do? Well, let's look at the health risks, because there are products that can risk the health of your retinas. Many toxic chemicals can reduce the necessary zinc in your system for healthy vision. Scientists are reporting that the highest concentration of zinc is going to be in the retina's macula. So if you're using tranquilizers or any kind of sedatives or birth control pills or even recreational drugs, that all tends to lower your zinc. It reduces the oxygen supply also to your retina. So a long-term zinc deficiency can lead to blindness. Now, it's really no wonder that we have a zinc deficiency, since zinc is a nutrition that is really produced out of our foods, like our grains, for instance. And when they put glyphosate or herbicides on grains when they're growing, it blocks the absorption of these minerals to the plants, so the plants don't have enough zinc in them. But you're going to find natural zinc if you're getting some organically grown nuts, seeds, whole grains, and some herbs. So here's some of the herbs with zinc. A lot of high zinc is going to be in astragalus root. Astragalus root is one of those herbs that has a high amount of zinc. Bilberry, skullcap, pumpkin seeds, cayenne peppers that have a lot of hot capsaicin in them, sage, wild yam, spirulina, chickweed, echinacea, nettle, and Siberian ginseng, and adult seaweed are all going to have that wonderful zinc. And by the way, if you heard the show on the COVID-19, science has found out if you have adequate amounts of zinc, that virus can't infect your cells and make you sick. That's why people that are really having a bad time are chronically low in zinc. So it's really a nutritional mineral problem. So you want to protect your eyes. It's been determined that nearly a fourth of all people with cataracts, really the result of too much ultraviolet radiation, or they're smoking too much, or they're drinking too much. So you definitely want to protect your eyes if you're outside. Get some really good sunglasses so you don't have those damaging rays. The best color lenses are to filter out these rays would be gray, green, or brown, and that's in the order of efficiency, gray, green, or brown. So these colors tend to cut down more on the glare, reduce your distortion. Even on indoor sunbathing, that offers a lot of risk too. So also if you're using a sun lamp, a lot of radiation off that, a lot of inflammation of the cornea called keratitis that can happen. So use your full spectrum light bulbs in your work and home environment. It gives you a more natural light. And biological research has shown that if you have more of a natural light, it improves the visual acuity. And, of course, we just went over why light influences our eyes and our moods. So you got a bunch of product that you can check out at thepowerherbs.com. The folks at Apothecary Herbs have a lot of things to support eye health. Their body food mix has a lot of that mineral nutrition you may be missing. They have some wonderful eye drops that reduce any dry eye or inflammation. They have a eye wash that's a detox for the eye. They have some circulation enhancing type of herbs as well, and cardiovascular forms of herbal formulas if you have a metabolic weakness that also is affecting your vision. So give them a call. Their number is toll-free at 866-229-3663. Ask for their free catalog. Or you can go up on their website at the Power Herbs, thepowerherbs.com, and you can request a free catalog there or download it from their website. Toll-free 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. So give it a roll. Go out there, improve the website, and sign up for their newsletters and stay informed. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with more.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010. Or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Herb Talk Live has your HMO, Herb Medicine Options, coming up next.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 or international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Okay, well, let's just, we got some issues here with our communication, Frank. All right, we're going to be talking about doctors. Doctors are approving vaccines cause diabetes. I know, isn't that something? It is amazing. We are going to be looking at this patient, diabetes. So, scientific research that shows amazing. Well, I've heard this from other doctors. So, it's really witnessing the explosion of the diabetic pandemic, if you will. And But they think it's all because the patient has faulty organs or genetic thing or it's dying. Now, in some cases, that may be true. However, this peer-reviewed research says the cause of a lot of instances of diabetes is from medicine. There have been a rise in childhood diabetes, which correlates to the increased risk of vaccines. So we're going to take a look at this this accumulation of reports. We're going to look into this a little bit more. Now, research that was done by Dr. Bartholomew Klassen got published in 2008. It's called an Endocrinology Journal there. It was also republished in the Molecule and Genetic Medicine Journal. And that was in 2014, so it was published again there. So the research is over 13 years old. It's over 15 years old, which we have to realize that a lot of doctors have read these reports, I would think, yet they vaccinate their patients anyway. You have to wonder about that. Dr. Klassen, it was reprinted in May 2014. It says this. There's convincing evidence that a rapid increase in the number of vaccines given to U.S. children has now created a state of immune overload in a majority of patients, and it's being manifested by epidemics of diabetes, obesity, and autism. So he's saying it's the vaccines causing this in children. Dr. Klassen's research seems to be complete, and it indicates that there is evidence that a large segment of the autism cases, also called an epidemic in the report, is also linked to type 1 diabetes, and both are prompted by an inflammatory autoimmune component. So the inflammation is linked to the vaccines. Let's look at the diabetic epidemic. Now, it appears that, scientifically speaking, that when patients get vaccinated, it can create in some individuals a hyperactive immune system response that produces an autoimmune destruction of insulin-secreting cells. So in other patients, it can create an increased production of cortisol and even suppress immune system molecules, causing vaccine-induced inflammation, he says, which can lead to type 2 diabetes, obesity, and metabolic syndrome. Let's see, Klassen goes on to say, quote, this report provides a review of the evidence that the vaccines are causing the epidemic of insulin-dependent diabetes type 1, obesity, and non-insulin-independent diabetes type 2, end of quote. So he's kind of covering both of those types. Now, there was also this study in Italy. So if Klassen's research isn't enough for us, medical professionals should remember there was a study that appeared in the August 2011 Journal of Pediatric Endocrinology and Metabolism. It's on pages 455 and 456 in the journal. And it was reporting additional evidence. There's a real link between vaccinating the children and children being obese, having diabetes, and a metabolic syndrome. So this research also used a very large group in the study, so it wasn't a small group, and they confirmed what Klassen found in his research. So this report stated it was an alarming trend to find out that vaccines are causing this epidemic of illness. Well, I mean, you know, I think a lot of people, more people than you think, even doctors and nurses and health professionals, I think they know. I think they know. But, you know, this isn't the hill they want to die on, you know, because if they say something, then, you know, the heavy hand of the drug companies and all the money they would lose, and all the lifelong patients they would lose from destroying their immune system and causing these problems is going to be affected. So these people shut up and they don't say anything. So the next time you question your doctor, look him in the eye and you'll be able to tell if he already knows this. If he already knows. Now, if he already knows this, shame on him. And if he doesn't know this, shame on him for not researching it before he gives his patients any of these treatments. Because he's had to have heard it before. And any doctor that has any doubt in something should go research it for themselves. And the ones that do, a lot of them can't sleep at night, and then they stop vaccinating with these things. Well, you've got established clinical evidence here. You know, when you look at a double-blind study or a peer review, that's kind of the creme of the creme of medical research. That's highly controlled. It's supposed to be a study, when it's a peer review, it's a study that can be easily duplicated to get the same results. All right, that's how you know a study was not faked. Okay, there are many other clinical studies done by credible scientists and physicians that show vaccines are the culprit in this matter. So when medicine knows the cause, but continues to use the treatment, which can threaten life and shorten it and reduce, quality of life, well, all you can say is, well, then it becomes an assault, right? It's not a misdemeanor, is it? It's a criminal act. So here is a list, not complete, of the studies that confirm what Claussen found, that these childhood immunizations are causing harm. Here is the Diabetic and Metabolic Syndrome Clinical Research and Review Journal, December 8, 2008. They found a link between the vaccination and childhood obesity and diabetes and metabolic syndrome. They say Asians and non-white minorities are at the higher risk of developing type 2 diabetes. Caucasians are at the higher risk of developing type 1 diabetes and also the autoimmune disorders from these vaccines. Isn't that interesting? They were able to trace that. Also, the Open Endocrinology Journal of 2008, April 2008, they said there's evidence of a link between vaccination and epidemics of childhood obesity, type 2 diabetes, metabolic syndrome, high blood pressure, and altered blood lipids. They say Asians and non-white minorities are at a higher risk and whites at high risk of diabetes, autoimmune syndrome from these vaccines. So they're kind of confirming these other clinical studies done before. The Open Pediatric Medicine Journal, February 2008, pages 7 and 10, they said children of diabetes have extremely high risk of developing vaccine-induced type 1 diabetes or insulin-dependent diabetes, especially from HIV vaccines, which is your influenza B vaccine. A large Swedish study, they said, confirmed these findings and showed that the influenza B vaccine disrupted immunity, caused autoimmunity to the pancreas islet cells, which make your insulin. So the vaccine attacks the pancreas. Then the Open Pediatric Medical Journal, February 2008, said, pages 1 through 6, evidence that hepatitis B vaccine causes type 1 insulin-dependent diabetes. And then a peer review paper published in the Journal of Pediatric Endocrinology and Metabolism, May 2003, showed that several common pediatric vaccines cause type 1 insulin-dependent diabetes, which occurs 2 to 4 years after the vaccination. The research was consistent with cluster groups of infections and progressed to disease development. Of course, your physicians are going to say, well, that would have happened right away, so it can't be from the vaccine. Well, clearly, Doc, you didn't read the journal article. Now, a peer review paper published in the Journal of Autoimmunity, July 2002, showed that not only common pediatric vaccines cause internal medicine disorders like diabetes, autoimmune, and obesity, it is also found to happen after your influenza vaccines. Wow. Military vaccines also increase risk of insulin-dependent diabetes among recruits, and it's higher in women by 5.5 times compared to men at 2.5 times. The risk is especially high after getting an anthrax vaccine, as data has showed that after the Persian Gulf War, they saw that correlation. The vaccine also increases risk of Lou Gehrig's disease. The results were published in the Clinical Practice of an Alternative Medicine, December 2001. Well. Here's also this 2001 doctor survey, which is very revealing. In May 2001, a physician survey was given after physicians were exposed to the data regarding vaccines and diabetes. At the time, physicians expressed concern that vaccines were causing chronic disease in their patients. Dr. Clausen presented the facts at the American College of Advancement in Medicine at Nashville, Tennessee, a conference in Nashville. He presented a randomized clinical trial of a large group in Finland showing the post-influenza vaccine 70% developed diabetes within 10 years. He showed when patients received the newer, more advanced, and potent influenza vaccines, the rate increased to 25%. So data from other vaccines was also presented coming from the Center for Disease Control, which supported the clinical trial findings. So Dr. Clausen showed doctors that common vaccines were not only causing insulin-dependent diabetes, but a wide range of diseases, including autism, allergies, asthma, type 2 diabetes, and autoimmune disorders. So after he presented all this to the physicians, they were asked if they would agree to take a survey, and based on the evidence was presented at the conference on the vaccines that causes a lot of chronic internal medicine disorders, he asked them to take a survey. And wound up Dr. J. Bartholomew Clausen. It was in the Medical Hypothesis 2001. He says, the survey shows that our findings and the findings of others which indicate vaccines cause chronic disease is well documented and accepted in the medical community. And some of the other findings were, he said, it's kind of astonishing that all this clinical data showing vaccines are dangerous and cause harm is largely ignored by the medical establishment, politicians that are creating vaccine mandates, and also the legal system. Wow. So he goes on to say, in November 4th, 1998, there was a report that presented, it was presented at the 62nd annual meeting of the American College of Rheumatology in San Diego, California. And in this meeting, evidence was presented that the hepatitis B vaccine causes rheumatic disorders like lupus and arthritis. They also presented confirming data from Canada. They also presented tuberculosis or BCG vaccines. They reported, this was at a Quebec research, out of Quebec, Canada, that it causes diabetes in children and if it's given at 1 year of age. So usually it'll give them diabetes. Also, the pertussis vaccine was reported from Sweden. This appeared in the Archives of Pediatric and Adolescent Medicine in 1998. That was in volume 152, pages 734 and 738. And they reported that the pertussis vaccine, that's your whooping cough shot, was linked to asthma and allergies in 10% of patients ages 2 to 5. So what Clausen is saying, quote, the current data shows that vaccines are much more dangerous than the public is led to believe, and adequate testing has never, ever been performed, even in healthy subjects, to indicate that there is an overall improvement in the health from the immunization. So the current practice of vaccinating diabetics as well as their close family members is a very risky practice, he says. So if you have a family tree with diabetes and then you get these vaccines, which is going to also enhance your risk of diabetes, he says that's dangerous. Why is medicine performing dangerous treatments? Ask yourself that. And I got to give it to these professionals that stand up and, you know, speak truth about it, but they're being largely ignored. So it's up to the patients not to ignore it. If they're not, I mean, they're not going to safeguard you then, are they, if they're ignoring it? The doctors, the media, the politicians, the WHO, the CDC. The CDC even agreed on Clausen's research. But they still, and now experimental vaccines that are going to be hastily put together because of the COVID-19. God help us what that's going to do. Well, you want to protect yourself and defend yourself. There are a lot of herbs that will help your immune system function properly and defend you. And we also revealed recently that the COVID-19 is due to a lack of zinc. If you have adequate amounts of zinc, the virus can attack your cells and replicate. And that was from the the U.S. National Institute of Health. Yep. So that was in 2010, but that research didn't come out until 2019, last year. So they already know that it's zinc that you need. And people that are chronically low in zinc will be the ones that get sick. And of course, if you've got diabetes and inflammatory diseases, that kind of increases your risk because you're weakened by those diseases. See? And you're probably on medicines that will flush the zinc right out of your body. And it's just like the perfect storm right there. And it's sad, but true. All right, we got a few minutes, and I want to touch base on bladder dysfunction because both men and women are calling about bladder dysfunction issues and constipation issues. And these are so doable. I mean, people have all kinds of power over this problem. They just haven't been taught what to do. Alarming increase, though, in the number of cases for bladder dysfunction and constipation, and it's not just here, it's globally. So a lot of attention, there's this entity called the International Continence Society. It's been growing and growing and growing since the 1960s. I mean, obviously, they're not trying to heal or find the cause of incontinence because in 40 years they haven't found anything. So scientific medicine says there's a prevalence for these kind of conditions. It's a dysfunction, and it's expected, especially as we age. Well, it's common, but it's not normal, okay? I mean, I don't remember reading the Bible that Jesus wore diapers. I do remember reading his eyes weren't dim. He didn't have cataracts. And he was still strong enough to go to war if necessary. At the age of 120. Mm-hmm. Now, the U.S. National Library of Medicine Institute of Health, they say bladder problems fall under the area of urology. You go to a urologist for that. And, of course, they're going to put you on drugs or they're going to set you up for surgery there. There's different types of dysfunction, of course, and a lot of money, $11 billion we spend on these types of dysfunctions but not get really any better. So men and women can experience bladder problems, and women most often see their urologist, when they're right around the menopause area. The prevalence for them is because, you know, they've had childbearing and the bladder wall, you know, probably is out of alignment because of childbearing. And so women tend to have this problem more than men. So there is a continence chart, and it's been based on 11 different studies. So if you have if you're a low threshold of the risk of incontinence, then there's the moderate, and then there's the severe. So there's people with incontinence between the ages of 15 and 19 even, but that's in the low 10% category. Then those that get a little older, between 20 and 24, 18% of those folks can have moderate incontinence. And then people over the age of 60 in the 17% category with severe symptoms. So conditions that can kind of make your incontinence worse in men and women, for men it's prostate surgery. Also, if you've had any neurological surgery, maybe you had a stroke or you had brain surgery and had a brain tumor removed. So if you ever had anything like that, you know, do your homework on your treatments first and see. Here is a quote out of the Cochrane Systematic Review of 2015. They say, over the last few years, many questions have been raised about the safety of incontinence surgery due to implants like artificial mesh. Of course, you don't even want to get me started on that. But there have been a number, they say, of reports where women suffering pain and injury after surgery due to devices used of non-absorbable plastics. And this resulted in worldwide court actions and some countries suspending the practice. So do your homework on any kind of treatment. They want to stick in a woman or any man. There's lots of invasive alternatives out there, non-invasive alternatives. So you want to explore those before you even think of all that. There's been no long-term trials, I will tell you that, done on these type of devices they surgically implant for things like incontinence. None. And let me read you this quote. This is by Dr. Joseph Oga. He's a gynecologist. He says, "We need to know more about what happens to women in long term. This review found 35 trials carried out more than 5 years ago. If women in these trials were followed up with, we would know much more about how long the operations last and critically important information on any side effects." So I have to ask myself, doctors are just going along with the advertising material that comes with the implant, and they really don't know anything about what their patient's going to experience after it's installed. Causes of incontinence tend to be stress, overweight, childbirth, of course, urinary tract infections, diseases like cancer, Parkinson's, stroke, diabetes, bowel congestion, kidney or bladder stones, prostate infection and surgery, cancer treatments like radiation, and alcoholism. Mm-hmm. Yep. Really rough on the kidneys if you drink a lot of alcohol. Now, causes of the constipation would be low-fiber diet, a lot of mucus in the stool, pain, lack of regular exercise, using antidepressants and acids, blood pressure drugs, antihistamines, cold medications, and even calcium and iron supplements that are not whole food, and getting the rotavirus vaccine. Pain medicines will always slow down the bowel muscle, because it blocks the nerve endings moving the bowel to move fecal matter along. So that will probably always plug up your muffler. Call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They have wonderful things to tone and cleanse these areas of the body so you can preserve them. 866-229-3663 is their number. 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com is the web address. If you're on there right now, click on Books and Newsletters and sign up today for their newsletter. It's free. It's delivered by email. You'll be informed each and every week. And I'm out of time. So the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice if you dare from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.